Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson along with the governor.
He says he got all his jeans from his mom. A lot of nylon.
A lot of excitement in the air.
Yes.
And we're ready for college basketball.
Oh, oh.
Gus.
Oh.
He's got onions.
Gus.
He's got onions.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big East Barroom off-season Zany Xavier episode. How we all doing today? I am down a co-host to start off this podcast. If you're a fan of Tyler, you will hear him later. But to start us off, to get us talking about the Xavier Musketeers, I am joined by one of the voices of the Big East, co-host of the Sean Miller podcast, and does about a million other awesome things, Mr. Paul Fritschner. Paul, how we doing today?
Hey, absolutely. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on. You were telling me before I got on here that I think you said you had Davion on the show, you had Quincy on the show, and you said you had who was the third one you said?
Dante
was on the show. Okay. And then you threw me in there too as like a token of goodwill. So I appreciate it, because those are three great
guys.
You're
our leading star.
Appreciate it.
And you're coming from a practice just before this, is that correct?
Yeah. Sean's been great with giving us, you know, Adam and I, co-host of the show, Adam Baum, the ability to be there at practice. I think, you know, outside of getting married this summer, in those couple weeks leading up to that, I think outside of that, the two of us, one of us has been at every single workout throughout the summer. And the both of us have been at the vast majority of team workouts since, you know, they all got together back in early June. And it's just, you know, to I guess get right into it, like it is just such an incredibly different team than the team was last year. And I know that kind of goes without saying when you take a bunch of guys that had never played college basketball before, and now all of a sudden you bring in a lot of transfers that maybe haven't played at the Big East level before, but are certainly experienced Division I college basketball players. The vibe is different. The characters are different. The personalities are different. And I think the best way to start it off would be to say that I have no idea, sitting here on August 26th, how talented this team is going to be. I have a very good idea of what I have seen over the last, you know, close to 3 months. I feel pretty confident that this is a top three team in the Big East, I think. But I also can sit here and say without a doubt, you know, no matter where they finish 1 through 6, because I don't think they could finish lower than sixth unless things really went wrong, I will say that this team and these personalities on this team, this might be the most likable Xavier team that I can remember in a really long time. It's just a bunch of really good guys that like each other a lot and are very endearing to the fans.
That is really cool. And it's such a high bar, having come from Quincy Oliveri, Sule Boom, Colby Jones over the last couple of years, who are like some fan favorites and great people. So to say that means a lot. Coming from you.
Yeah, I just think the way that these guys mesh, I think when I speak about likability in the way that I just did, I speak about it in a way that it'll come across when you see them as a group and how much of a team they are. Because I think when you brought in last year's group and there were so many different players from so many different areas and so many different things that you had to mesh, you had the international guys, you had guys that had played, you had guys that hadn't played. I mean, it was just, there were so many things, you had injuries to overcome. There were just so many things that you had to try and navigate last year, and the waters were choppy a lot of the time. But this year, now you're just trying to mesh personalities of talented basketball players that have played at the Division I level before. And the vibe of this team, it's funny to sit here now, like I said, almost three months removed from when they got together for the first time. And I remember watching workout number 2 back in the first week of June. And I remember looking at Adam and I just thought to myself, holy cow, like this is more competitive than a lot of things that we've seen recently. And now here we are, you know, in the steps that they've taken over the last couple of months. I just think it'll speak for itself come November.
Wow, that's really cool stuff. So you're right. Let's dive right into this. So It has been an interesting offseason for Xavier, right? For the Xavier Musketeers, you have 9 transfers that leave. You have 7 come in. Of those transfers that left, there were some that just weren't cutting it at the Big East level, but there was also some that, you know, had some promise to them. You know, a Desmond Claude, a Lazar Djokovic. And then obviously the 7 that Sean Miller brought in are all, you know, high-level transfers. How do you see the way Sean Miller is approaching the transfer portal? Because it seems like it's a little different than some other coaches.
Yeah, he had a couple of things, and he's talked about this, not to be a shill for the podcast, but I will say, you know, just something that I've heard repeatedly just because we've done the show over and over, you know, weekly, keep hearing him say it. He wanted to find talented shooters, wanted to find guys that could space the floor, and he's certainly done that in the backcourt that he's built. And he wanted to find players that have won at a high level before. He wanted to go out and find players that were experienced and had won. I think there's a lot of talent and a lot of shooting coupled with guys that are coming back in Trey Green, Dalen Swain, who might be the most talented defender on the team. And then, of course, Jerome Hunter and Zach Fremantle, who are going to be back, you know, healthy and ready to go. So all of those things together, I think when you say, yeah, it's a little bit different, I think if you didn't follow this team at all and you just see, oh man, all of these guys transferred out and all of these guys transferred in, and you know nothing else, you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, what's wrong at Xavier? What happened? And without the context of the last season, that's a scary number. That's a lot of turnover. But you have Davion McKnight, the point guard, coming back, coupled with, like I said, everything else that you bring in. I think it just made sense because, like you said, there wasn't a ton of Big East talent on that team last year outside of Desmond Claude, who proved it. And I thought, yes, Lazar Djokovic did have to. Lazar and Des, to me, were the two most substantial losses from last year's team because, you know, guys like Gidis Namiksha, Sasha Chani, guys that, you know, transferred out, Reed Ducharme, Kachi Enze, just weren't quite Big East players, you know, and they transferred to levels that make more sense for them. I thought Lazar, as the season went on, showed some promise. Desmond Claude, obviously, the most improved player in the Big East. A tough loss, but somebody that they feel like they've replaced pretty well in the way that they handled the portal.
No, I think you summed that up really well. And outside those two, I think you're largely correct. Those guys just weren't cutting it at this level. And you touched on the returners. The 3 main returners from last season being Dalen Swain, Trey Green, and Davion McKnight. Is there one name that jumps out to you there, somebody you're really excited for?
I'm really, really excited to see what Dalen Swain does. Because I think Dalen Swain, between the amount of weight that he's put on, I think he's put on close to 40-some pounds in the offseason. So, and he still looks lean. So, I mean, it's just what he has done with his body has transformed what he'll be able to do defensively, how he'll be able to handle himself in the Big East. I think he's gotten a lot better shooting the basketball, which is a question mark that he had last season. I think he could be very, very special.
NBA upside, right? That's NBA.
I do. Yeah. Now, I don't know if we're talking about the 14th overall pick that we saw in that mock draft that went viral a couple of weeks ago. You know, I don't know, like, right now if I'm going to sit here and say that, but I'm also not going to sit here and deny the fact that Dalen has an incredible amount of you know, NBA upside as his career goes on. Does that happen this year? Does it happen after one more season? I don't know. That's for somebody a whole lot smarter in the NBA world to figure out. And that's not to say that Dalen can't be the 14th overall pick this year. I just have no idea. You know, that's not my world. But what I will say is he's the person that I'm most excited about of the returners to see what kind of a jump he's going to make this season.
And in the third piece of this Xavier Musketeer puzzle for 24-25 is the returning Zach Fremantle and Jerome Hunter. What are you able to tell us about their health?
So Zach is fully healthy. Zach's ready to go. Zach has been fully clear. Zach is full go. There's not, as long as he doesn't re-injure himself, you know, it down the road, anything that would happen now would be because he re-injured himself doing something else. It's not like there's anything lingering that he's still getting over, right? I mean, he's done all his work. He's completed all his rehab, everything that needs to go. He's a full contact participant in practice. He's able to play. He can get up and down the floor. It's as if he's, you know, back to the old ways there. Jerome Hunter is cleared for non-contact work, but he is not full go in the sense of like where Zach is. They're hoping Jerome will be set to go, barring no more setbacks, that he'll be ready contact wise, you know, for the start of practice here in about a month. But again, with that, that's just what they've talked about publicly. There's really not anything more than that that's happened over the last couple of weeks when he got cleared for all of that to kind of ease his way back into it. He's been around, you know, you're working yourself back into shape. But it really is just amazing all the work that he's put in to be able to even get to this point. The fact that you overcome the cardiac incident last year and then you tear your Achilles, and now here you are, and we're sitting here talking about him as if he's hopefully going to be full go. I mean, if Jerome were sitting here next to me right now, what I would tell you is his plan is to be full go on opening night. Now, whether he's cleared for that, whether the doctors and the trainers and everybody clear him for that, I don't know, but if you were to ask Jerome, he would tell you that his intent is to be able to play whatever he has to play on opening night.
Okay. So that's all the pieces of the puzzle, right? So I want to ask to you, Mr. Paul Fritschner, what is the starting five, assuming Hunter and Fremantle stay healthy, Fremantle stays healthy and Hunter gets healthy?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, you watch practice, you see so many different lineups out there. You wonder what you can mix and match. I would say right now, you probably now the biggest question mark here in all of this, and this is something we haven't even talked about, is John Hughley and what kind of shape he's in when the season rolls around. Because I think as far as a Big East big man, when you think of a Big East big man, John Hughley is somebody that, you know, he's got a big body. He's played at a very high level at Pitt in Oklahoma. You know, he's been around the major conferences. You're hoping that can translate. So let's just sit here and say, and he's worked incredibly hard to lose a ton of weight already. He looks completely different now than he did even the 2.5 months ago when he got here 3 months ago. Let's assume that he's your starting five. I would round that out with Davion McKnight, Ryan Conwell, John Hughley, Zach Fremantle. That's four. And then maybe that fifth player at the three. You go, I would say probably Dalen there, okay, if you want to go with that kind of a lineup. Now, you could maybe mix in a Dante Maddox there if you want to go a lot smaller. Does the five become a Bazil? So his name is Lasina Traore on the roster. He goes by Bazil. He's actually our guest next week on the, I don't know when you're releasing this, but he's our guest and he kind of explains why he goes by that. But that's Bazil. If you hear that name, it's the same player. Bazil would be maybe there. I doubt he starts. I don't think they start Jerome Hunter right away. And that's not anything I've heard. To be completely transparent with people listening to this, and you're going, oh, this guy's been at practice every single day for the last 3 months. He must have heard something. I've never one time asked any coach, what do you think the starting five is going to be? This is simply what I watch every day. So I'll qualify it with that because I'm not going off of anything that Sean or any of the other coaches have told me. My guess would just be that after 2 years of not playing basketball, you don't throw Jerome out there immediately to start, and maybe you bring him first off the bench, or maybe you do start him and you bring Dalen first off the bench. I don't see that happening either. So, yeah.
It's fascinating. And that would be a very creative lineup, but you don't put anything past Sean Miller, basketball genius, to make something like that work, you know?
It doesn't make sense too much on paper, but I'm just thinking talent-wise and what you think returning, that I would say obviously Davion and Ryan Conwell, who I think Ryan Conwell could end up being the best player on this team. I think at the end of the season, if you were to tell me that Ryan Conwell was a Big East first teamer and was the best player on Xavier's team, I would not be surprised at all. I think he's that good. He's that consistent of a shooter. He's that experienced of a player that's what you're getting out of him. So there's two starting spots. Then I would say Hughley in there in the five spot. unless Lucina ends up playing that well here over these next 2 months leading into the season, I don't think he's the starting five, but maybe just size-wise you do. Then Fremantle in there at the four, and you go with Dalen at the three. That would probably be what I would do. That would be mine right now.
It's year three of Sean Miller part two at Xavier Musketeers. Big picture, and maybe more from a fan perspective than, you know, obviously all the your connection to the team. What are the expectations around this year?
I would say, well, getting to the NCAA tournament this year to me is just, it has to happen. With the talent of this team, with how much shooting they have on this team, with how much experience they have on this team, with what I've seen already out of this team, just getting to the tournament to me, I hate to even put expectations on them like this, but just getting to the tournament doesn't feel like enough. I mean, I really feel like this is a team that is capable of getting to the second weekend of the NCAA. And from that point, anybody listening to this knows you get to the second weekend and anything can happen. Who knows? So to say beyond that, I don't know. But this is a team that is very talented. It's certainly limited in the front court. I mean, if you just listen to the last 15 minutes of me rambling on about what's going to happen down there at the four and the five and how do you mix up those lineups and what happens, you're very set in the backcourt because you have so much talent there. It's a very physical team, but can you guard in the front court? Can you rebound at a really high level out of the front court? Those are the question marks. If this is a Big East front court to complement that, you have to make the NCAA tournament. You have to win at least, I'm telling you, I really think this is a team capable of winning at least two games in the NCAA tournament. And I feel like this coaching staff, these players, they all understand that. They know that. And with how hard they've worked this offseason to try and represent that goal, it would not surprise me at all.
Paul Fritschner, co-host of the Sean Miller Podcast, one of the coolest podcasts anybody's doing in all of college basketball, forget the Big East, but across the entire country, and all the insights he's able to give into Xavier basketball. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I appreciate you having me on here. It's great. This is a ton of fun, and doing the show, the Sean Miller Podcast, has been a lot of fun as well. I mean, when I started doing this last year with Adam, it's just about a year ago when I signed on to help start this, it was, I was interested to see how Sean was going to like doing this after a loss, you know, because that was the idea, right? That you're going to do this every week and it's basically going to be like a coach's show, but it's not, because he already does his coach's show. So we wanted to kind of stray away from the minutia of the season that you cover in the weekly coaches show on the radio with the team's broadcasters, Joe and Byron. You know, those guys talk about each individual game and how all of that's going, but we wanted to kind of expand the bigger picture and maybe get some of those coaching insights that you don't get on a show like that, that you're talking about the season. And we've had so much fun because Sean has loved it so much. I mean, he really has. So much credit to him for signing on, doing this, agreeing to do it, going 16-18 in a season last year and having a very disappointing year. And honestly, what I will say is watching this team over the last 3 months makes it almost shocking to me that that team won 16 games last year. I mean, it really, and I don't mean that to knock any of the, you know, Quincy Oliveri put that team on his back how many times last year. And it's scary to think about what that team would have been like without him. So this year, it's like everybody's been reinvigorated with the talent that they have. And it's been very fun doing the show. We do it every week, whether Sean's on it or not. But I think we just released episode 42 earlier today, and I think he's been on 39 of the 42. And for him to do that, week in and week out, and give so much insight, like you said, so much content. I mean, the man is a content machine. He's addicted to going on podcasts. It's like every time I turn around, the man's doing a, you know, John Rothstein, or he's doing the Sean Miller Podcast, or he's going on. He loves it. And he he really does enjoy catching up and sitting down and taking a break. And you know, it what's refreshing for me are some of the days where maybe the practice didn't go as well as he had hoped, or you know, something's going on, and you sit down and you're like, all right, we scheduled a recording today and we're going to knock this out. And then maybe he has a former player on and you can instantly see that light, right? And he gets real excited. They start reminiscing on stories. And I think fans have latched on and enjoyed it. And we're hoping to it's been very Xavier centric in the first year. And, you know, we've had some conversations here recently about building this out into, you know, more of a national, like let's go get some of those bigger names, some of those other coaches, and really expand this out here in the coming months as we get closer to the season. So we're hopeful, but the other thing we got to remember, scheduling is a little hard when you get closer to the season too. So we'll see how it goes.
That is absolutely the truth. Listen, if you're a Xavier fan, you're already listening to the Sean Miller podcast, but if you love the Big East, you should also be listening, because you just cannot match those level of insights that they're getting from, I mean, not just a coaching genius, but one of the, you know, 11 coaches of Big East basketball.
Well, Ryan, you know, I will say the Big East is really blessed with a lot of great content. And, you know, it's fun to have the Sean Miller podcast contribute to that. But what you guys are doing here with your show and you know, what you're doing on Twitter and everything else, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to follow. So I appreciate you having me on. And look, anytime you want to, whether it's Xavier, anybody else, anytime you want to talk hoops, you let me know.
Thank you, Paul. It means a lot. And thank you so much for taking the time to jump on Zany Xavier. And we're going to kick it over to Davion McKnight now. Okay, Big East fans, who better to talk about the 24-25 Xavier Musketeers than returning point guard, Mr. Davion McKnight? Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. How you doing today?
Good, I'm good. Appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited for the opportunity to talk with you. You know, it's only your second year in the Big East, but you've already become kind of a face of the Big East and obviously one of the faces of this Xavier Musketeer team that's got so much buzz around it. So we wanted to give the opportunity to the listeners to get to know you a little bit better, to dive into your history and what you brought you here, and then talk about what you think of the team this year.
Yeah, sounds good. You know, just being able to say I'm one of the faces of the Big East is, you know, it means I'm doing something right. So I appreciate everything you bring and add to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's all your hard work. So you're originally from Kentucky. So you're kind of, you know, close to the area, and you're also from an area not too far from Louisville, correct?
Right. I'm about 30 minutes from Louisville. Not too far.
One of the, like, great areas of college basketball in the country, right? I mean, you're in between Louisville and Lexington. Right. You're not too far from Indiana and all that basketball schools. Did you grow up a college basketball fan?
I would say I was a fan. I watched, you know, Louisville growing up, and, you know, the teams they had, the Rick Pitino coaching. So I feel like I was a Louisville fan growing up.
Is there one player that you remember when you were a kid watching that you really liked?
Probably Peyton Siva, Russ Smith. That's when, you know, growing up seeing them hoop, you know, they inspired me a lot to, you know, that dog mentality. So
yeah, I remember that team. That was a lot of fun. And you grew up in Kentucky high school basketball. Your senior year, you win the 2020 Kentucky Mr. Basketball. Now, the Kentucky high school basketball is a little different than the rest of the country. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you explain to the listeners who aren't from there what makes it so different?
More public schools, you know, in Kentucky, not as much, you know, private. I would say, I feel like it's all one, everybody in the state's in one, you know, tournament. So it's the best teams in, you know, each region, and it's just one champion, so.
And is that championship, is that played at one of the colleges?
It's at Rupp Arena. Yeah, it's at Rupp Arena.
So you played Rupp when you were in high school. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so I went my freshman year, my first year. It was crazy, you know, being able to play on that college court. It felt unreal, especially being here right now. So it was a good feeling, though.
And then, you know, out of high school, you end up going to Western Kentucky. Now, you're the 2020 Kentucky Mr. Basketball. What was the recruiting process like? Did you know you wanted to stay close to home? Were you getting big offers from other places, or how did that go for you?
You know, I was just that really didn't play a huge role in it, but I feel like once I took my visit to Western, it was something that fit me. I feel like in all areas, you know, the way they played and, you know, it being close to home helped out a lot. So I would probably say that played a, you know, just the style of play and the fit played the biggest role for me.
And what was the style of play? What would you categorize that style of play that you were looking for?
You know, spacing, I say one floor flat, you know, ball screened, and just, you know, just playing IQ basketball, really.
So you spent 3 years at Western Kentucky. You make first team All-CUSA, make second team All-CUSA. Obviously, you have a ton of success. You led the CUSA in assists in the 21-22 season. Was there any difficulty adjusting to the college level? Or, I mean, it seems like you kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah, I would say it was a little difficulty. You know, just starting off my freshman year and having to adjust to the, you know, the different type of athletes. You know, the age gaps in the play, the way certain players play, and just the environment. But other than that, I feel like I was in a good spot. You know, going from college to, I mean, from high school to college.
Sure. And then you decide after your junior year at Western Kentucky, you're going to enter the transfer portal. How did you make that decision? What was your goal when you entered?
You know, it was a coaching change after my, you know, that third year. So that played a big role into it. And then once I was in the portal, my biggest thing is I already knew, you know, what I wanted. So just trying to find a place that was fitting for me. Like I said, the style of play, the way I play, you know, the greatest opportunity to get me to the next level and, you know, good coaches that is going to help and continue to develop my game.
And so speaking of good coaches, you get to call from Sean Miller, Coach Miller. What's his pitch when he's trying to bring you to Xavier?
He kept it 100. He didn't tell no lies. He told me what it was, and he told me what I needed to work on. He told me I could come in, be a starter, and, you know, impact the team as, you know, in many ways. And him being a point guard when he played and now being a coach in the Big East, I feel like I had a lot of trust in it. And he showed previous year when he came in, he had Sule Boone transfer from you know, Conference USA, the same conference as me, and came to Xavier and had, you know, great success. So, you know, the proof was there. So I just, you know, trusted it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said something interesting there about Sean Miller being a former point guard, I mean, greatest point guard in Pittsburgh history.
Right.
Do you feel like he still sees the game as a point guard? Do you have that connection with him that you feel like you didn't have with a coach that wasn't a point guard?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can tell he's big on turnovers. So, like, that was one of his things once I came here, was, like, cutting that assist-to-turnover ratio really down and, you know, having more assists, less turnovers. So you can definitely tell the way he coaches that it's through a point guard's eye. He harps on turnovers and he harps on, you know, just pushing the pace. And I feel like me and him have a different type of relationship because, you know, the point guard is the coach on the floor. So I feel like he just trusts me with different things and different assignments.
Is he pulling up old highlights of himself? Like, here's, you know, what I did.
No, he ain't done that yet. He ain't done that.
He is a legendary point guard. You know, that's Coach Miller, but what did Xavier mean to you when you decided to commit there? Had you taken a visit, and were you aware of some of Xavier's history? I mean, you were coming off of Sweet 16 when you committed.
Right, yeah. I came here and took a visit, you know, seen the campus, seen the gym, the new facilities. But all that was great. And then I just, you know, sat down with Coach and all the coaches, and they just told me the plan. They laid it out on the floor, and you know, the rest is just me putting in the work and be willing to do everything I can to win.
Did any former players reach out to you, you know, try to sway your mind?
Yeah, for sure. I had, you know, like Sule, we met up before the camp. So, I mean, before I came here, so we already kind of knew each other. And, you know, he was just keeping it real with me and telling me, like, Miller's one of the greats, and you'll fit well in the system. And, you know, I just went with that.
So you end up on Xavier for last season. It ends up being a really tough season for Xavier. So many ups and downs with the injuries. How did you feel the team responded to that? And, you know, how difficult was it to go through that?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough season. You know, having only one returner from last year, the whole year, having two of the main, you know, returners go down and get hurt. You know, it was big, you know, having a team full of transfers that, you know, don't know anything in this new system, trying to figure each other out. You know, it was tough. We definitely had some ups and downs, but I felt like we definitely stayed together as much as we could. Having some big wins and then some, you know, some losses that we shouldn't have had. But I feel like it's just what comes with, you know, the transfer portal nowadays, and, you know, things don't go as how they should, but It was a good experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you finished the season with a 3.05 assist to turnover ratio last season. I don't know if you know that was the best in the Big East. Now Quincy told us he loves playing with you because you are a pass first point guard. Do you consider yourself a pass first point guard? Is that something important to you?
Yeah, that's just something that I've always, you know, been playing the point guard position, just making the right reads. You know, Q was somebody who was always running the floor with me, so he would always get a ton of, you know, good looks and open shots. So I enjoyed playing with him and, you know, him always running the wing.
Can you talk us through your mindset a little bit about how you think you play point guard a little bit different than a guy who might be, you know, shoot first or something like that?
Because I feel like I still, you know, even though it's pass first, I feel like I still have the, you know, the ability and the threat of still being able to score. You know, in the back of the defender's mind, I may be a pass first, but, like, I can still go and get a bucket if, you know, needed to be. So I feel like just having a good balance in between, you know, making the right plays, but making the plays that need to be, you know, made at certain times of the game.
That's nice. So you end up playing at Madison Square Garden. You win your first game against Butler. Was that your first time playing at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, that was my first time being in there. It was definitely one of those unreal moments. Just being in MSG and, you know, you hear all the good things about the players that go in there and go crazy. The arena itself, just so much history. So it was a great feeling going in there and getting a win in there.
And you guys played UConn. I mean, the first half, you played UConn about as well as anybody did all season. What was that? I mean, what was that like being that close against the number one team in the country going into halftime at Madison Square Garden?
You know, that's a great team. You know, great coach, well coached, disciplined. It was a great feeling, you know, to see that we were still with them at halftime. You know, with especially all the ups and downs we had the whole year. Still fighting. It was definitely a great feeling. Wish we could have, you know, shocked the world and got that win, but, you know, it was a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, the Xavier season pretty much ends there. You go to the NIT and, you know, things happen in the NIT, but I want to talk about how you end up announcing you're coming back to the Big East. Cause this was, you set the Big East Twitter on fire with this one. Kai Muskie, like give him his credit, added you and asked if you were coming back, and you said yes. Was that on purpose for you to make your announcement that way?
No, that was just – I think I was just in the car probably going to get some food or something, and somebody – I looked at Twitter and I seen that, and I was like, I mean, I might as well say it. So it wasn't no, you know, planned thing. It was just something that happened in the moment.
Yeah, was there any – I mean, you knew ahead of time that you were coming back. Did you ever consider leaving? That was your fourth year.
No, I always knew I was coming back, you know, especially the way that last year ended. I felt like I couldn't go out on that note.
And so you're back, and then now the transfers start coming in. In total, you have 7 new transfers. Now, you already touched on last season. You brought in a lot of new transfers. Did you learn from that, and are you doing things a little bit differently this time with – with the large number of transfers that you're bringing in this year?
I think the biggest thing is was last year we only had, one returner that was able to practice and, do live stuff and teach the newcomers the ropes, to where this year we have, five returners that's all healthy, that can show the six new guys, the ropes, and it's a lot easier to, talk to everybody in their positions and, just spread the energy around.
So if you're comparing, at this point, this season to last season, I think it's fair to say that the team's gelled quicker?
I'll say we're in a lot better position than where we were last year. I feel like both years the chemistry was there. This year, definitely chemistry's a lot better, and I'll say we gel a lot better.
Do you see any differences in the style of play? How are you going to play this year versus last year?
Oh no, it's going to be the same. I feel like it'll be the same style of play. Same pushing the pace. Trying to get inside presence and, just scoring, threes and getting to the free throw line as much as we can.
That's interesting. You mentioned pushing a pace. You ended up playing at one of the fastest tempos of any team in the country last year. Was that something that was planned on? And you're saying you believe you'll do the same thing this year?
Oh, yeah. Coach Miller harps on, pushing the pace each and every day, whether it's practice, weight room, or just in the game. So that's something that the way he plays and just the way he coaches. So that's just the style of play we play at.
You like getting up and down the court?
Yeah, for sure. It gets more possession in the game. Playing at that speed, I feel like it's a different type of game. It's more exciting. Like I said, more possessions, more scoring.
And how do you see your role growing? Because we talked about you're one of the faces of Xavier this season with seven new transfers coming in. And you're the only player who played significant minutes or starting minutes last season. So do you see your role growing? Do you see your role changing for this year?
I feel like it's same as last year, but just taking it up a notch. Just being more, vocal, being more of a leader, more aggressive. Just an overall step up in my game as a, player.
I just got one more question for you, Davion. Do you want to call your shot? Where does Xavier finish at the end of the season?
In the Big East?
Big East and NCAA tournament.
One seed.
One seed?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys got a ton of talent. You got a ton of interesting pieces. And you got one of the great coaches in the country. And they got one of the great returning point guards in the country. So it's going to be a really fun team to watch. We really appreciate you taking the time to jump on here with us, Davion.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Big East Barroom fans, we are lucky enough to be joined by Xavier transfer, Dante Maddox. Dante, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you guys for having me.
Dante, we really appreciate you taking the time. And, we were just talking before we hit record. We had Sule Boom on 2 years ago. We had Quincy on this year. And our last year, now we have you on this year. So there's been an incredible string of Xavier incoming transfers over the last few years, especially shooting guards, point guards.
Oh, for sure, yeah. That's a really good list, of Xavier guards, and the goal is to keep that going. So, yeah.
So Dante, we'll start a little bit more at the beginning of your college career. You do your freshman and sophomore year at Cal State Fullerton. Go to the Big West. You have a really strong freshman season, averaging 12 points a game. What is your introduction to college basketball? How do you feel about playing your first season in the Big West, first and second season out there?
I remember it being very, I would say, unfortunate. Yeah, COVID in California was so bad, especially in Orange County. And I remember not really getting the chance to have a genuine freshman experience. I was just out there hooping, honestly, because we couldn't really consistently practice. We didn't play our first games until January. So, COVID really, hit our team hard. And I was just out there playing, man. And it was, and I ended up playing pretty well. I think, honestly, I really would have been able to play better if it was some consistency with the games. But I think early on, I felt confident knowing that, like, okay, the college level, that was a level that I could play at and have a good future in it. So, yeah.
So one question I wanted to ask Dante is, your senior year in high school, for anybody who doesn't know, you're from the Chicago area, correct? Just south of Chicago. And your senior year, you finished first team All Illinois, third place for Mr. Basketball in Illinois. I mean, this is like some of the against one of the better high school programs. The state of Illinois has some of the best high school programs in the country. And then it looks like your college recruitment maybe didn't necessarily reflect that. Was there, did you feel that way? I mean, because I was a little bit surprised at how accomplished you were in high school.
So I'll say this. I committed to Cal State Fullerton before my senior year started. And I think that's a big reason because, and you were right, like when you look at, I think like in the final high school rankings of Illinois, I ended up being rated like the third best player as well in the state of Illinois with some names like DJ Stewart, who now plays for the Bulls and went to Duke, and Adam Miller, who went to Illinois out of high school. They were the two above me, which obviously I think the top 10 or to 15 players all went to high major schools in Illinois in my class. And then you look and it's boom, Cal State Fullerton. And it was kind of funny, but people don't understand is that if I really wanted to, I could have like tried to get out of my signing, my letter of intent on going to Fullerton, but that really wasn't how I was raised. That's not really what I was about. A lot of the schools who, when I was committed already, who tried to come around and, Big East, Big Ten, SEC, like, they were schools that had a chance, I feel like, to recruit me before. And at the time, they didn't see my the value in it. So I had a lot of mid-major level schools. I got most of my mid-major offers in one day. I got like 12 or 13 in a day during the live period. And that's just how it was. I was not gonna kind of change up on the people who seen some talent in me. And at the time, going all the way out West Coast, it was a different experience. I wanted to be able to go and create my own path, and I think that's the biggest reasons on why I went out west, to the Big West. I feel like I had a chance to play right away and be an impact type of player.
We definitely tip our cap to that kind of loyalty. That's a really cool story.
I'm happy y'all did that research because a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that it could have been totally different. I could have probably went to one of these schools out of high school and played my way, or my story could have been totally different, but I'm very happy that it went the way it went. So,
So after your sophomore year, you transfer back a little bit closer to home. Was that part of the incentive, though, coming back from,
yeah,
California to go to Ohio and Toledo?
no doubt. After my sophomore year, I kind of dealt with some injuries and dealt with also with COVID and everything, and it was just a situation where I think, my family, being a family-oriented person, we realized that, like, me being far away, that, and with the times, it was still kind of COVID-ish, and that, that they couldn't be around that much. My parents weren't able to watch any games or anything in person or see me play for a couple years and everything, and not wanting to get anyone sick and all that was a big part of it as well. I felt like it was a situation where I could come closer to home and still be an impact on a great like mid-major program that is known for having talented guards and really good guards. So I was happy that it kind of was a to me it was kind of like a home run type of fit for me.
And this is a stat Xavier fans will want to hear. Over your 2 years at Toledo, you shot 42.4% from three, on almost five attempts per game. Now, the first thing I think when I say is it fair to draw some comparisons between you and Quincy Oliveri in terms of being an elite shooter coming up from a mid-major?
For sure. I think obviously Quincy was phenomenal. You know, he really was. And I think that that like I'm somebody who pride myself on how well I can shoot the ball too. I think I really don't I feel like my last year at Toledo honestly wasn't necessarily up to my standard, but it was a lot that went into that. You know, from just personnel to even being banged up a little bit. But I feel like me shooting the ball has been something that if people go back and do their research, they know I've done it at a high level pretty much my whole life. So I'm excited to be on a team and a stage like Xavier to be able to you know, take a step and kind of show the national world a little bit more what I personally can do, you know.
Now, Dante, I think you're being humble because I'm going to be honest, you're a certified bucket getter. I mean, averaging 16 points a game in college is, you know, nothing to hang. I mean, it's something to hang your hat on. You're coming to a team that's pretty talented. You're coming to the Big East. I don't mean to hate on the MAC or the Big West, but this is the highest competition that you're probably going to be facing. How do you see yourself fitting into the Xavier team that has so many athletic scoring players, you know, with your skill set where, again, you are a certified bucket getter?
Yeah. And I pride myself on that. And I think one thing that, like, I kind of have grown to know, you know, being that I've been in this college realm for a little minute now, was that, you know, buckets travel. when you really a bucket, it travel. And I'm very, you know, I'm confident on how I play in my game. And I genuinely believe that being around the talent and being around a system like here, you know, with Sean Miller and Xavier will really just kind of help expedite what I already have been doing, similar to those guys that you named before, in Quincy and Sule. You know, it kind of was the same with them. I think they were very, very good, you know, at their level, but kind of took it up a notch when they got here. And I think that's a testament to the way that we play and the style, and also just the players around. You know, I think Coach Miller do a great job of recruiting, and I think he's done an amazing job with this team. So,
can you tell us a little bit about how Sean Miller recruited you out of the transfer portal?
Yeah, very. They recruited me tough, and not only that, very consistent, which is I think the biggest thing that that mattered a lot to me is just like they started recruiting me fairly early when I got in the portal. But like you know how the portal stuff goes, you know you would probably. Heard from a whole bunch of schools, you know, so you hear from everybody, and then after the hey, how you doing? I'm such and such. People kind of, you know, dwindle, and some stick around. The conversations from day one sounded like the conversations at the end of my recruitment. They didn't change. It was nothing that changed. Nothing switched or wavered. They were extremely upfront and genuine on how much that they thought that I could play. And how they would be able to use me, and I'd be able to help them as well. So like it was kind of a perfect match, and I value that type of consistency, that type of loyalty, and I think that's the reason why I'm here.
This Xavier team is, I don't want to say unrealized potential because last year, you know, they did what they did, but they had a lot of injuries. Have you been practicing with the team at all? Right, you've been practicing.
Yeah.
So how much do you see that hunger, especially from like a Fremantle or a Hunter right now? Because they must be just thrilled to be back on the court.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell. Like, and they both love hoops, you know, being, I think that's a big reason, really the whole team, why I feel like we kind of gel and feed off each other well is because I think everyone genuinely loves basketball, but you know, with Zach and Jerome, we could just tell that they are itching just to be back on the court. You know, they love to play, they love the game, and you don't, if you don't love the game, they've been through a lot, you know what I'm saying? So that's, it's no doubt that you can see that on the court, the passion that they have, and I'm just excited for them being part of their journey. I'm excited to be able to be on the court with them and excel with them and hopefully win some games.
Dante, you've played 4 years of college basketball. You've probably seen more than, you know, most anybody else. Is there one clear goal you have for this season, which you're hoping to get out of what will be your last season of college basketball, correct?
Yes, yes. Man, the one goal, and it's the biggest goal, is to impact, is to be an impact or whatever, but to win. I want to be a part of history. You know, like, that's something, like, having lofty dreams, goals, and aspirations is lofty, and they're big, but that's, I think, how I think personally, but I think different than my teammate next to me. I think that's the goal. That's what we want. We want to be able to compete for a national championship, and I think we have the roster where we'll be able to do that. So, I mean, that's the goal for me.
You're playing for Sean Miller, one of the more intense coaches in the Big East. He's been not coining the phrase, but all in. What does all in mean for you guys? Is that something you guys are taking to, or is that just a Twitter thing right now?
No, it's definitely not just a Twitter thing. It's a real lifestyle for us right now. You know, everybody being all in is everybody being committed 100%, whether that's committed to making sure that you're doing extra and being in the gym, whether that's committed to being the best student athlete that you can to be able to be on the court, whether that's in the weight room. It's all in is just encompassing everything. It's like, how are you attacking every aspect of life to help Xavier be the best team it can be? And I think that's the best way that I personally can put it. And it's not just the Twitter things. Like, that's something that Coach has preached, and since we've been there day one, and has tried to instill us to be all in. All in is selfless. So not only just being all in for yourself, but in doing that, you're being all in for the person next to you. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's definitely like a lifestyle for us. And it's something that we are going to continue to stick by.
Well, Dante, I think you just fired up a whole bunch of Xavier fans with what you said there. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. We'd love to have you back anytime during the season, you know, and
catch sure. For sure. We definitely. I'm excited, and I would love to. So thank you guys for having me.
Who better to talk about Xavier basketball than soon-to-be Xavier alum and current Los Angeles Laker, Quincy Oliveri. Quincy, thank you for jumping on with us.
Nah, for real. I got y'all.
First off, if you haven't, you should go check out the full episode with Quincy. Send him some love. We had a ton of fun catching up with him, but he agreed to do a few more minutes just talking about this 24-25 Xavier Musketeer team. So I guess right off the bat, you have some great returners from the squad with you last year. You got Davion McKnight, you got Dalen Swain, you got Trey Green. Is there one name you want to pick out as you expecting the biggest leap from?
Dalen. I want him to go to the NBA. I'd be calling him Najee Marshall.
Dalen Swain fan club is on Twitter is one of my favorites, because I believe Dalen Swain is going to be so good because his athleticism, like, he is a stretch. I don't know if he's a stretch four, or a small four, or whatever, but he's athletic.
He's a Swiss Army knife. He's a three. He's just a forward. We're just gonna put that here forward. If he wants to play the role of a Derek White, he could do that. Or if he wanna, you know, I mean, he went to the Jason Tatum skills camp this summer. That's great knowledge in itself. Absolutely. You know, so I'm very excited for him. I think he's with the right coach. You know, that same coach, Coach Dalen Terry, who has the same similar game build, and You see, Dalen Terry still in the NBA, so I'm very, very excited for what's coming with Dalen Swain.
Xavier's lucky enough to get their two big men back. How excited are you just on a personal level for Jerome and Zach coming back from two pretty serious injuries?
Very, very happy for him, especially like Zach with Zach and Jerome, like being there. I saw how bad they wanted to play. Every time I was in the gym, early morning, after practice, Zach was there. After the season, me and Zach will work out together. And when I've been in those situations and just with an injury wanting to come back. So seeing the hunger that he has, obviously Jerome had to be way more careful, and then he had the Achilles. So Jerome just working his way back, being on the court, being able to dunk and stuff like that. Just being able to do something that brings him a lot of fun is really exciting, especially for like I love him. Like me, him and Dalen, we call each other the Migos. So that's like my guy. So just him being able to do that again, because I remember I was there when all of us were there when he tore his Achilles, and it was scary. And then I just remember going into the doctor's office with him. He was just like crying on my shoulder. Like I was just like, fam, like I got you, bro. Cause like I just know how hard this can be for you. Having one setback and then another setback right after. Like, I know exactly how you feel. And I'm excited for both of them. Just to be on the court. Like, me and Jerome joke all the time. When he checks in the game, I was like, if you kiss the middle of the floor when you check in the game and don't cry, I said, I got some money for you, fam. But I already know that you're going to check in the game, you're going to start crying, you're going to do all this. Next thing you know, it's going to be a corner drive and it's going to be right on your head, and I'm gonna be laughing.
have a tear in his eye as he gets dunked
Facts.
Now, are you familiar with any of the incoming transfers from your time at Rice? Or I don't know. I don't think Xavier played any of them the previous year.
Not at all, but I talked to Dante Maddox when he was still deciding his recruitment, and I just steered him away from all the other Big East schools. So I mean, rightfully so, though. I remember talking to him about Creighton, and I love Stephen Ashworth. That's my guy. But I told him, don't go play with Stephen Ashworth. And it's like, it was really just persuasive. Like, I didn't talk nothing bad about Creighton. I didn't say nothing bad about Stephen, but I was just like, don't go play with him. Everything you want is over here. And it was just like, just because I just wanted them at my school, like nothing to do with nobody else, just wanted to see them succeed.
As one of the most successful transfers in recent memory, what advice do you have for those guys, Ryan Conwell, Q Glee, Dante Maddox? What's going to make them successful at Xavier as a transfer?
Buying in and how quick you understand your role. Like the thing was, when I first got there, I didn't know what my roles looked like. I was very prepared to not have the same role I had at Rice. Like that was upfront. Everybody understood that. And once we lost to Houston, Mario Mercurio came to me right before I went into media. He looked me in my eye and he was like, we need an alpha. We need somebody to step up. And at that point, the flip switch, I'm like, I'm going back to how I was at Rice. That's all all I needed was somebody to let me know. Cause I was trying to be respectful of these new teammates. I'm not the ball hog that y'all think I am. Like, I'm not here to take 20 shots a game. And it's not about me. Like, I want to win. So I'm here to play team ball. Like, trust me, I know I shot a lot at Rice, but that's not what I'm here for. But once he told me we need an alpha, I was like, yeah, okay. It's time for me to assert myself as the guy. Wanting to be the guy, and that was really it. I mean, I would just say understand the role, whatever role they delegate you, master that role until they tell you something else, because that's the NBA, that's college, that's anywhere you're gonna go after they leave, is you have to understand your role. That and just trust the process, fam. After we lost to Washington and Vegas, I'm talking about fans on Twitter. Quincy Oliveri trash. Quincy Oliveri can't shoot. Who's this transfer? Somebody, I remember specifically Dalen Swain on the bus was laughing because somebody tweeted out my name and they had a trash can on fire. And they were like, this is Quincy Oliveri. Them same fans. They not saying that no more. So just trust the process, fam. It's gonna be an adjustment. It's always an adjustment. But you stay true to the process. You do what you need to do. It'll all work out. It's a long season. The Quincy I was in November after Robert Morris in Jacksonville ain't the Quincy I was after senior night against Marquette. Trust.
That's awesome. Quincy, do you have an official prediction for Xavier Musketeers next season?
Top three, Big East. I mean, they're going to make the tournament. I talk to the staff still. The players talk to me. And Dalen tells me all the time, man, I wish you had one more year so you could finally reach the tournament. And I always say, it happened the way it was supposed to. Because if Zach was healthy, or if y'all had other people, who knows if I would have had the 40-point games and 30-point games and all that. Like, who knows? Like, it happened how it was supposed to. It just wasn't meant for me to play in a tournament. And I've just had to accept that hard truth and move on with it. But they tell me all the time, like Coach Kett, like, yeah, we got a squad. There's no freshman on the squad. Said we got a squad. And I'm like, Kett, that I would have traded my year last year for what y'all have this year. Cause all I wanted was to win. That's I didn't done all the personal stuff except like all American stuff. But I didn't score 40 points. I didn't score 30 points. I didn't done all the records. But I ain't never been able to say, yeah, I was on the tournament team. I won a conference championship. I won a regular season. I never got to do none of that. That's all I ever wanted. All I ever wanted.
Well, Quint, you're getting me hyped up for this season now for Xavier, and we'll definitely have to connect after some of these Xavier games. If you have, well, you'll be doing your own thing with the Lakers, but if you are watching them, let's connect and talk about them.
Oh, I'm gonna definitely be tuning in for that crosstown shootout.
There you go.
I'm undefeated against Cincinnati, which is perfectly fine with me. Cincinnati forever, because they can't never take that away from me.
Well, hey, Xavier fans are going to love that. Quint, it was 1 year at Xavier, but you sure made a lot of memories. Thank you very much for joining us, and we can't wait to watch some Xavier basketball.
Yes, appreciate y'all.
And that officially wraps up our Zany Xavier episode of the Big East Barroom offseason. I want to thank all you guys for listening, as always. And stay tuned through the offseason. We're going to do some more fun stuff. We got some more stuff in the works. So make sure you check out our Spotify channel, Twitters, Instagram, all